Let us take a look at Buddha's journey. He sets out to seek enlightenment. And he tries the usual things. He tries meditation, he tries yoga, he tries extreme asceticism, penance, all those practices. And for him too, nothing works. Finally, he encounters his own shadows, his demons. And instead of fighting them, instead of resisting them, he embraces them. He invites them to be part of himself. He forgives them. And then, after a long time, when he's sitting under the great Bodhi tree, the tree of enlightenment, as it's now called, he finally gets it. And let us go through a little bit of his experience, okay? Because this is the essence and the heart of where we are trying to go. He's watching his breath. And he says to himself, it arises and then it subsides. Then he's watching his thoughts. And he observes that they arise and then they go away. Then he watches his emotions. And the same thing. They come, then they go. Then he observes his perceptions of the world. And they arise and they subside. So he comes to the first conclusion. If it arises, it also subsides. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Everything that arises also subsides. If it is of the nature of arising, it is also of the nature of subsiding. And that's the first dharma seal in Buddhism, the first principle that Buddha came to. And that is the law of impermanence. That everything in the relative world, what do you mean by relative world? The world of space, time, and causality. Everything in the relative world is impermanent. And of course, from there, there's an insight. A lot of our suffering comes from the idea of attachment to a field of permanence, or rather to an idea of permanence in a field that's inherently impermanent. There's nothing to hold on. It's like holding on to the air. And the one that's holding on is also impermanent. The one, I whom holding on, is also impermanent. There's nothing to hold on and there's no one to do the holding on. Why does he say that? There's no one to do the holding on. Because he says, just like the things that I observe that are impermanent, I too am impermanent in this form. And just like that flower that I saw was rainbows and sunshine and earth and water and the whole universe, the total conspiracy of the whole universe, so too am I. That I'm not a separate self, which is the second dharma seal. That there is no separate self. You know, our bodies are recycled earth, our body fluids are, or our circulation is recycled water, our breath is recycled air. Our thoughts are mostly recycled information, right? Our feelings and emotions are recycled energies that occur as a result of our interactions with each other. What about our personality? You know, I think, well, it may not be my body, I may not be my circulation and my breath, but at least I'm my personality. And he says, no, your personality is just recycled relationships. That's how we create our image of ourselves, through relationship. So if my body is recycled earth, my body fluids are recycled water, and my breath is recycled air, and my thoughts are recycled information, and my emotions are recycled energy, and even my personality is recycled relationships, then who the heck am I? Do I even have a soul? And Buddha says, you're a reflection of everything else. That if you have a self, it's a reflection of all selves. And when you really experience that,